everyone. Welcome, friends, to this, the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And I want to welcome you to today's Grace Hour broadcast, friends. Thanks so much for joining us. And we hope you'll spend the next 45 minutes or so with us for today's Grace Hour broadcast. This week on all of our programs, we're talking about the deep work of God. And today we'll focus on, well, illness, sickness, long-term illness when it happens in the lives of believers. What's its purpose? Why does God allow that? And is there any comfort that we can find, any answers that we can find as we turn to the scriptures about these challenges that face so many believers? And in a direct way, but then in an indirect way, impacting the and challenging the faith of the loved ones of those who have these illnesses and setbacks spiritually. So we'll talk about that. And of course, you can join us. The chat is available for those of you that would like to weigh in, share your thoughts with us, ask those questions that you may have, and we'll be happy to address those as they come into us here in our studios. But my name is Pastor John Love. Joining me in the studio today is Pastor Barry Quirk. I do want to mention that Pastor Barry Quirk and myself just came this morning from another ministry locally in the Baltimore area, and they held a pastor's appreciation there at their church, and we were invited as representatives of our ministry. Had a wonderful time, and we want to take this opportunity to thank all the pastors, all those that minister God's word and are somehow involved in feeding the flock of God throughout the country, throughout the world, and say thank you, and we really appreciate the work that you do. And that was a great morning over there. A lot of students in this Christian school that we know very well and we interact with in our sports and different activities. So it was a real blessing to be there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fantastic. I learned a few things this morning. I learned that October is Pastors Appreciation Month.
That's
who
right.
knew?
Yeah.
Who knew that pastors got appreciated? No, we know that greatly. We feel very appreciated by our body. And also, we have a great appreciation for our pastor. And
amen.
We know from the daily endeavors of our jobs that, you know, the pastor's work is an attacked one, not just by people, but by the enemy who would like to cease from letting the word of God be heard. And that was really evident in the songs that were sang this morning, even from the youngest ages, you know, from the K-3 class, Yes, Jesus Loves Me, and the K-4, and, you know, them just singing about read your Bible and pray every day. And I was thinking, like, what better things could you be teaching our youngest people, you know, than to be able to hear about what it is that gives us the hope that we have in these crazy days that we live in. So it was much appreciated and kind of got the wheels turning in my mind about maybe some things that we could do to also appreciate those who are in the ministry around us and go through each and every day.
Amen.
The call of, have said yes to the call of presenting the gospel to people.
Yeah. And again, it's great to think that, you know, a month is devoted to those that are in ministries, in churches, to take the opportunity just to say thank you.
Yes.
And to express that gratitude towards God and towards those that minister to them through the word of God and through prayer. And again, it's you don't hear a lot about it, but I'm grateful that we were able to be there. And we were the welcome receivers of their appreciation.
Yeah.
But it gave us a chance to appreciate all that other ministries are doing in the greater Baltimore area as well.
Yeah, amen. It was great.
So our theme, this is the deep work of God, and that's a pretty good title, Pastor Barry, because some of these issues that we're going to address and deal with are very deep.
Yes.
In the sense that it leaves us oftentimes with some questions and longing for some answers as to, you know, why does God allow long-term illnesses? Why are some believers chosen this way and to suffer in this way? And, you know, the first thought that comes to my mind is in John's gospel. I believe it's the 9th chapter, where Jesus and his disciples, they confront a man who is blind from birth. And his disciples, Jesus' disciples, said to him, you know, I mean, here are these wonderfully deep theologians, like, yep. Okay, Lord, who sinned?
Right.
And what a shame it is. It's a real shame most often when Christians equate illness, in some cases, illnesses from birth or illnesses that might have been the result of, who knows, an accident or, I don't know, something that could have happened in an operating room, right?
Yeah.
Malpractice. There's so many different ways that we could look at this, but the bottom line is to equate those things that have happened to believers with sin is foolishness.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Jesus answered his disciples because they wanted to know who sinned. Was it the man himself or was it his family, his parents? And Jesus looked at them and said, neither. And then he actually went on to say this, this man was born blind for the glory of God.
Yeah.
Now that's, I think, as deep as it gets.
Yes. Actually, that's what I wanted to, I mean, if we were to count our sins, you know, we would each be crippled beyond recognition.
Wouldn't even be alive.
No, because, you know, while we are forgiven and we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, it does not yet appear what we shall be. And we still have our weaknesses and our frailties. Actually, I was kind of thinking about that. I want to share something, maybe a little anecdotal, that while we were waiting to go into the pastor's appreciation breakfast this morning, I witnessed one of the workers there at the school had a wheelchair-bound child of their own, and they were waiting for the bus to come and pick them up so that the child could go to their school for the day, and then the mom would go in and work. And the child was very upset this morning, and while the mom was wheelchairing, you know, wheeling the chair up to the bus, the child was just crying, and she said, "No, it's okay, it's okay." She said, "I put a suitcase in the car this morning because I needed to bring something to work, and I just couldn't help but overhear this. It was right in front of me." And they said, you know, it kind of startled the young person, like they couldn't associate why there was a suitcase and his mom taking her suitcase and going somewhere, and they were so heartbroken. And she was assuring them, "Our schedule is the same. Your sister has volleyball. We're going to be there. I'll be 5 minutes behind you when you get home." And I was just thinking, like, the dependence upon the mom, you could see, was really rooted in love. And that's what was troubling him. Like, the one whom I love isn't going to be there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you consider the question about why does God allow illnesses, why does God allow trouble in a person's life? And as we said from John chapter 9, my question would be, why does God allow people who don't have to have a dependence upon his love? You know, like, if we're not troubled, if we don't have some kind of malady, and let's face it, every single one of us has a degree of malady, whether it's, you know, physical, whether we have diabetes or whether we have arthritis or whether we have whatever it is, malformation, or we just have been injured or whatever physical ailment we have in these bodies of sin and death. Everybody has it to some degree or another, eyesight, hearing, whatever it is. And all of that is under the creation of God's mighty hand. And all of it is, one of the people that I think really exemplifies the most to me about a public figure that has turned their apparent handicap into a blessing is a local lady, Joni Erickson Tada, who, as we know, was diving into the Chesapeake Bay as a 17-year-old and was left paralyzed. And her ministry today, to this day, we actually had a student in our school, two students in our school, who were the recipients of hearing equipment that was donated as a result of Joni Erickson Tada's ministry, which is going on stronger than ever today. And in some of her books and some of her writings, she said, "I don't know what I would do." Yet she was weak in her wheelchair and growing more and more frail. She said, "I don't know what I would have done, God, had you not brought the bruise of my infirmity, I wouldn't have this understanding of how much I need you in my life. And I'm so thankful that you did that." And it really just had revolutionized my thought on that, that, you know, it is a deep thing, but really when we consider it, the work of God in our lives in this short little moment that we call life compared to all of eternity, you know, maybe we're looking at it a little incorrectly.
Yeah, that's a good point. We live in a sinful and a broken world.
Yes.
And so often, you know, people want to blame God for that. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, you know, an unbelieving world. It's a little ironic because when these things happen to unbelievers, and of course they confront believers, they're like, well, I can't believe in God because he has allowed this to happen. And this is taking place in my daughter's life, my son's life, my life, people that I love. And it's interesting because they're very quick to blame God for these things that have happened, but they never seem to, on the other side of the coin, never seem to thank God for their blessings, thank God for their health if they have it, thank God for the financial needs that are being met in their life. Or, I mean, it's just so interesting that, you know, they never acknowledge God for all that is good in their lives. But if something goes bad or something goes wrong, he is the first one to blame.
Yeah.
But it goes back to the fact that we are in a broken and sinful world, something that God himself did not ordain.
Right.
And he knows that in this world we're going to have trouble. There's going to be a great deal of suffering. And I think it's important for believers to understand that, yes, even as believers, we will experience our share of suffering in some degree, in some measure, in some way, as you just pointed out. Even the Apostle Paul, think about it, on the road to Damascus, when Christ met him and his conversion took place, you know, God said to Ananias, whose house Paul would eventually go to receive his sight back after his encounter with Christ in Acts chapter 9, God said to Ananias, he said, he's a chosen vessel, he's going to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And listen to the verse 16, Acts chapter 9, I must show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
Wow.
There it is.
Yes.
I mean, that's his call.
Yes.
That's his ministry. Certainly to bear Christ's name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, but to suffer. Mm-hmm. I think we almost have to embrace that truth and know that it is going to happen to us at some point in our lives, and that God is going to somehow find a way to be glorified through it.
Yeah, and I think we have both known people in our lives that have been in the midst of challenges or suffering or things that they've suffered, whether by their own decision or, you know, by the mistreatment of somebody else. Maybe they were involved in a car accident where they were not at fault and they were left with some kind of scarring. And we can think of a lot of people who've been down that road. And, you know, the bigger question about why God allows it will be revealed to us. But I've often witnessed in the midst of these situations the mercy of God, the strength of Christ, like the strength being made perfect in a person's weakness. And it's remarkable when somebody is trusting God, even in the midst of their infirmities, they can allow the glory of God to be used in their lives. And it's really an incredible testimony. You know, I'm thinking of some people that are near and dear that would love to have their health, but at the same time, they've determined that where they are, they're going to follow God's plan for their life, no matter what. And it's just incredible to see that happen in a person's life. And it really is a recognition that God allowed certain things to happen in our fallen state. You know, had we been able to stay in the garden and be in perfect condition, there'd be a different story. But we did take on a fallen state. And in that fall, there were sin entered into the world. And as sin entered into the world, there's obviously things that have happened in our lives. John chapter 9 says it very clearly that the man wasn't blind because of his sins or someone else's sins. But are there conditions that happen as a result of sin? Sure, we can think of, you know, fetal alcohol syndrome or drug addiction that happens in the womb, and children that come out affected or addicted to drugs before they ever have a chance. So there is a sin element that could bring us to a place. But also just the innocence of having something happen to you that you had no control over it, but being able to turn to God and say, in my weakness, you are made strong.
Yeah.
That you're the ability for God to reveal himself in a very hard situation is incredible. And it is something that theologians struggle with because they say, why does God allow it? You know, but I think if we see the character and nature of God, we see deliverance and mercy and grace that goes beyond this temporal state that we're in now. Because this, let's face it, it's a temporary condition. You know, nobody goes to heaven and their new body is also maimed or broken down. You know, we're going to be incredibly whole.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the thought of that is beautiful, that there's people who were blind their whole lives and the first thing they ever see in life is the face of the Lord is an incredible thought. What a blessing in a way.
Yeah. Wow. That is, it is amazing when you think about it. I'm thinking of what the psalmist said in Psalm 119. There's three verses in particular. The first one is verse 67. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, as a result of the affliction, I have kept your word.
Yes.
Verse 71, he went on to say, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Wow. And then in verse 75, he said, Lord, I know that your judgments are right and that you have in your faithfulness afflicted me.
Wow.
Now, whether these afflictions were all physical in nature or spiritual, it really doesn't matter. The psalmist is talking about the nature of affliction and how it has impacted in his life. And he begins by saying, before the affliction, it would be easy for me to go astray. But the affliction now gives me this capacity to turn to you and to trust you and to wait upon you and to believe in you. Mm. You know, we hear a lot today in Christianity about healing and the atonement. Mm-hmm. And there are some who propagate this. I don't think it's the truth, but they claim it's the truth that all sickness and illness was paid for at the cross. Mm. And if a believer is sick or does have an illness, well, they shouldn't. And either it's a deficiency in their faith and they're not believing God enough to be healed, or perhaps it's just some form of discipline and some form of sin in their lives. And that is just a terrible way to approach this whole truth that we're trying to unfold and unpack today in the Grace Hour, because it doesn't, in cases, have anything to do with that.
Absolutely not. And as a matter of fact, the lack of faith in that situation is the person who could put themselves in the place of judge and say that that person who's ill or under some kind of duress is that way because of their lack of faith, when really the lack of faith is that God could use a person in that condition to glorify himself more in some cases than he could a self-righteous man or somebody who considers themselves whole and healthy and has no reliance upon God but operates in the energy of their own strength or flesh. And as we know in Psalm 139, verse 16, it basically says in is a paraphrase that God knew the weakness that I have, and he's seen it, and he knew it before it existed, and he knows it after it exists, and he knows who I am. And he's able to use me by his design with those things. And every person is different when we think about this. Every single person on earth is different. We don't have cookie-cutter creation. Mm. We have strengths and weaknesses, and anybody who's ever seen Nick Vujicic preach, you know, if somebody had a complaint, as a human being, it could be him, that he was born without limbs. And, you know, what is he supposed to do with his life? Well, he decided, I'm going to go and tell people about the glory of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And this is such an amazing, you know, and I've had the opportunity a couple times when I was in Europe to hear him speak. And his message is not woe is me. His message is the strength that God gives to us is available to everywhere. And he has given, he has been allowed into places that perhaps he never would have had the opportunity. Was he a whole person physically? And I just think it's beautiful the way that we can look at it in faith and not start to cast doubt that somebody's faith is not whole. You know, God in some cases allows things to happen so that his glory can come forth. As he said with well, with Lazarus, it happened. There's many instances in the Bible where people were afflicted. The man born from the time of his birth, blind, that God healed. Some people he allowed to be sick that he could heal them as a testimony. Some people he allowed to suffer. Fanny Crosby, different people who suffered their whole lives, but gloriously demonstrated the life of God in their suffering as a testimony to people that could never have been reached had they not seen that glory.
Yeah. I mean, even in our own lives, I'm sure, had we not gone through some great challenges in our lives, either personally or indirectly through a loved one or a family member, what would our faith look like? Would it be as grounded as it is? And again, we're not suggesting that our faith is the most grounded that you'll ever find on the planet. But I mean, I believe that God allows us to go through these kinds of challenges, whether they are directly in our lives or indirectly in the lives of those that we love and care about, so that our faith will grow and our faith will be established.
Yes.
And we will trust God in a more deeper way. Because, you know, another question that they would like us to ask is, well, wouldn't life be easier without these kind of health issues? Well, sure it would. But also, but would we have a trust like we have in God?
Exactly.
Would our faith be grounded and established? Would we, you know, be able to withstand other storms that would come, you know, into our lives as our journey continues without having had the struggles that we've had previously in our lives?
I mean, the world would call us impractical people because of the way we think, right? We wake up today, and yes, of course, we're interested in our present condition, remaining able to be here. We're not looking to be hurt or sick or to be in a car accident or any of those things. But we also know that the most whole person in the entirety of history, Jesus Christ, came to earth, the only lamb that was without blemish, the only one who could say that sin had zero effect physically on his mortal body before he took it upon himself willingly, right? And his whole purpose in being here was to suffer, and to suffer in a way that was excruciating. The word for crucifixion, it's the same root word that's used in excruciating. It's a death and a torment that's no match. There's no match for it. It's the most incredibly tormentuous way to die. And yet in that was the most glorious, merciful, life-giving opportunity of anything that in all of our creation could be there. And, you know, he suffered long for us. Can we have long suffering in our mortal bodies? Yes. But again, when I said we're impractical people, we don't look at our lives just in this born on an expiration date. And it's a long time for us, maybe in the present. But when you consider all of eternity, it's a blip on the radar screen. And so God maybe allows us to suffer some things in our short period of life that have an effect for all of eternity. And I think that's why we're willing to suffer with Christ. And honestly, anything that we suffer here on earth is minute compared to what he suffered so that we could have that eternal life without any of these problems.
And that kind of reminds me of what Paul said when he wrote to the Romans, the 8th chapter and the 18th verse, when he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us.
Yes.
Certainly that glory can come through us now in time, but it's, you know, more clearly going to be revealed in when we are in the presence of God.
Yeah.
So another question is, well, you know, couldn't we all be better used in God's kingdom without these physical setbacks, these illnesses, these issues in our lives? And my answer to that would be no. I don't think that we could necessarily be better used, because I believe that as we embrace these things in our lives, that God will somehow find a way to be glorified through them. Perhaps otherwise, you know, how can God be glorified through, you know, we're always have perfect health, always have enough money, always have our needs perfectly met. Yes, I'm sure that God can be glorified for that, but I think he's more glorified when we are without means and he says, trust me, and I'll meet those needs. Or like Lazarus, you mentioned him a moment ago. I mean, people came from Bethany, where Lazarus lived, to where Jesus was. They traveled quite a distance, and they said, Lord, the one you love is sick.
Yeah.
And when he heard that, he said to his disciples, we'll stay here for three more days. I can't imagine how that's set in and settled into the minds of his disciples. Like, well, you found out.
Don't you care?
Yes. Don't you love this man? They said he's the one you love.
Yeah.
If you loved him, you'd drop everything and you'd go to be where he is immediately. And then, of course, he waited. And then he told his disciples he's dead. Mm. And then they said, well, what's the sense of even going? And then, of course, when he gets there, Martha and Mary, his sisters, say, if you had only been here, this would have a different outcome. Our brother would be alive. And he said again, this was for the glory of God.
Yes.
Sometimes we look at our suffering and we say, you know, it's got to be alleviated now. You've got to give me an answer now, only to discover that as we wait upon God and perhaps the suffering passes or is alleviated, or it even doesn't, we get a revelation of what God really wants to do through it, and then we actually can glorify God to a greater degree.
Beautiful. I mean, the degree of glory that came from Lazarus being raised from the dead was far greater than the degree of glory that would have been had Lazarus been healed while he was on earth. And I think that's an important point to remember in all of this, is that we're not perfect believers. We're not perfect people that were born and we're trying to maintain our perfection, right? We are imperfect in every way, shape, and form. The only reason we have perfection is that Christ has made us to be perfect in him. So it's one thing to say, is it glorious for a perfect man to maintain his perfection? And at the end of the day, we could say, okay, well done. You did a good job. You kept what God gave you, which was your perfection. But how about an imperfect man that is made perfect because of the walk and the life that he has in Christ? And at the end of the day, we say this imperfect person suffered the things they suffered for the glory of God, died in their, maybe even died in their weakness or their fragile condition, and is made incredibly whole for all of eternity. And this isn't some cop out. Like, we don't just say, oh, it'll be better later. No, it really will be better later.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is not a cunningly devised fable. This is, your condition on earth is temporary. Your condition in eternity is eternal. And what you just described, you know, the glory of God being manifest, it's not for our finite brains to be able to completely understand. And that's the other side of this. We're not some super understanding people that just know, I know why God's doing that. No, we don't understand it, but we trust. Right.
Yes.
And this is the big difference.
Yes.
The difference is, do I understand it? Can I comprehend it? Can I communicate it to other people? I don't know if I can. But I also would agree that, are we in better condition if we didn't have to suffer those things? No. Mm-hmm. No. I think the fact that we can trust God in the midst of our turmoil brings a greater degree of glory to him. We have faith along the way. The ride on this earth is faith filled.
Yeah.
And then the conclusion of the matter is that he has his glory versus me writing a story that, you know, may have some people applauding, but they don't understand the work of God like they would had a broken vessel been made whole. Mm.
And I think that's why James in his epistle wrote, you know, you can count it all joy when you fall into various and diverse kinds of trials, which will include suffering in some measure and to some degree.
Yes.
And I mean, think about what he says. Count it all joy.
Yeah,
that is incredible.
That's crazy talk.
But I love that word count, because it means to kind of to jump ahead, to leap forward into the future, and to have by faith an understanding of what God is going to accomplish through that trial and through that suffering.
Yeah.
It might not be pleasant at the moment. You might not be joyful at the moment that it's happening, but in your heart, you can count it all joy, consider it all joy because of what it's going to accomplish in the future.
Yeah.
And to go back to what you just said a moment ago, we don't always understand it.
Right.
We don't always understand it. But I read some time ago that when he was alive, Albert Einstein was being interviewed by a group of reporters. And sitting there with him was his wife. And one of the reporters decided, I'm going to ask her a question. And they asked her, they said, do you understand the theory of relativity? And she just kind of looked at them and she says, I think they said, do you know how it works? And she said, no, but I know Albert. Mm. And I know I can trust what he does. Mm. We could say the same thing about God. We do not know everything that God is doing. And we do not know why God is doing the things that he's doing or allowing in our lives. But we know him.
Yeah.
And that's enough to carry us. And that's enough to keep us.
And that's really the key that, you know, in our illness, is Johnny Erickson Tada happy about being in a wheelchair? Is she happy to be suffering? Was Franny Crosby happy to be suffering? No, I think they were happy to have the provision of Christ in the midst of their suffering, right? It wasn't about, you know, I'm glad for my physical condition. It's I rejoice, and I know I'm putting words in their mouth, but I think from their lives it's pretty evident that this is the way they think in their writings and their communication about their conditions. Mm. Is that I got to meet Jesus in a way that I never would have met him. And this is like, you know, what you just were saying, that that it's the provision, it's the purpose of God, and I'm rephrasing it, but it's getting to know who he is, that I don't know the theory of relativity. I don't have to understand all of it, but I can trust in the character and the nature of the one who does. Mm-hmm. And this is the beauty of being a believer, is that, yeah. My gosh, there's tons of things that we don't understand. And for someone to say, you know, count it all joy, instantly I say, what? That's crazy talk. It really is. Count it all joy. But it's not count it all joy that you're going to suffer. Count it all joy that you're going to have a beautiful provision in the midst of that suffering, and it's going to be joyous and it's going to be eternal. And we don't even see yet what it's fully going to be, but we know because of the promises of God that it's going to be amazing.
Amen. Amen. I have to say, just share with our listeners a great story about Johnny Erickson Tada. She was, I think she was speaking at a huge event, and I think there were just hundreds, if not thousands, of people present, women who were there to hear her. And they actually ran out of seats, mm-hmm. and it was so crowded, and they had people, you know, that were standing. And some of these people were a little bit older, elderly, mm-hmm. and some of them really did need a seat because of their own physical conditions. And so they asked, somebody got up on the stage and took the microphone and asked if there would be people that would be willing to give up their seats so that they could give it up. And nobody moved.
Oh my goodness.
And then next thing you know, Joni Erickson Tada rolled out on the stage, took the microphone and said, I would give anything to give up my seat for someone to sit in it.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, everybody got up out of their seat. There were more than enough empty chairs for those people who needed them to sit in them.
Yeah.
Just, you know, there's someone who's saying, look, I wish, you know, if I could do it all, maybe I wouldn't want it to happen. But maybe she would say differently. Maybe she wouldn't change a thing. Mm. But sometimes we would. We would say, oh, I could, if I could just do it differently, if I could have better health, if my mental condition would be more, you know, in a right kind of a mind. But sometimes, you know, we could say, God, you know what you're doing. And if you've allowed it into my life, it came through your gracious hands and it reached me. There's got to be a purpose in it, and help me to find that purpose.
Yeah, and we're not saying today, Pastor Love, that we, you know, have all the courage and the strength. I'm sure there's many dark moments in a person's life that's gone through these things. And I can only think, you know, we've had dear brothers who have suffered with ALS and different things that have affected their physical body, and their mind is still whole. Mm. And in many ways, we just think of how tormentuous that would be, right? But on the other hand, boy, the glory of God, it's something that we don't understand when we're not going through that situation. And maybe God gives that understanding to somebody who's suffering personally, but also he gives the understanding to those of us that are observing it. You know, those of us that are watching the situation and saying, the midst of that trouble, this person has spoken volumes to me, right? We can hear a lot of messages from a pulpit or from radio speakers or from whoever it is, and we are encouraged by that. But when you see a message being preached in a suffering person's life, day after day after day, it's indisputable what's coming out of them. And it is really the glory of God.
Amen. Yeah. And, you know, the bottom line is that God can and will test the ones he can trust.
Yes.
I think that in some cases, perhaps God does not allow physical illness or to have some form of a handicap because maybe he knows that it would be their demise. It would be the end of them. It would ruin their faith. It would cripple more than their bodies. It might cripple their souls.
Yes.
So he doesn't allow that to happen. But if he does test the ones that he can trust, it helps us to look at the tests and the trials and the challenges in our lives in a different way. Mm-hmm. That God, you have given me this. And if you have given me this, you promise that there is a measure of grace that will accompany it so that I will be able to not just endure it, but to glorify you in it.
Yeah, and those words become so much more potent, count it all joy. We could just stop right there. Count it all joy. For those that suffer, count it all joy. For those that aren't suffering, count it all joy, right? Because the real issue is, do I know Jesus in a personal way? And if my mortal body being racked with pain and suffering is what brings me to a place where I get to know God in a personal way, count it all joy. If I can get to know God in a personal way and he spared me from that physical pain in my mortal body, count it all joy. We're all terminal, right?
That's right.
How we get there and when we get there is God's business, and we don't understand and we wish sometimes we could prolong it. But again, the hand of God in the midst of that is so beautiful. And we don't know. Our ear of corn is plucked, you know, and you know, we think we know. I like the comment, Daphne, good to see you here from Texas. Hello to you and your family. But she says that it's interesting that Mary trusted the Lord to heal Lazarus, but not to rise her brother from his death. And, you know, we don't even know our own faith. Like, we think that we have incredible strength and incredible faith. And yet we are like that Mary, we see and we're weeping at the feet of Jesus. Why didn't you deliver her? We were trusting you to deliver her. And we are very short-sighted. And he sees the full picture and he goes, oh, not only am I going to deliver him, but I'm going to bring him back and he's going to have a testimony that's going to not stop today. It's going to keep on going. And this is, you know, in our natural man, we could limit and put, you know, a temporary condition and make that God in our lives. But God is so much bigger than that. God is so much bigger than our temporary situation.
Can't put our God in a box.
You can't.
For sure. And I want to go back to something that you touched upon before we wrap things up here today, and that is as believers, and when we see this happening in the lives of other people, whether we know them, don't know them, or their loved ones, family members, or relatives, or friends.
Yes.
Stay clear of making an evaluation.
Yes.
Stay clear of making a judgment. I mean, the words of Jesus always resonate within our souls. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Don't go there. That's one seat that we are warned repeatedly in the Bible to stay away from. You know, we don't know. I like what Pastor Stevens used to say often, you know, unless you walk in somebody else's shoes, you don't know what's happening in their lives. So rather than make an evaluation, rather than passing judgment, pray for them, love them, have compassion upon them, help them.
Yes.
Find a way to bless them and to build them up in their faith.
Yeah.
Because you just don't know what they've gone through or what they're going through.
You ever been on an airplane, Pastor Love?
I have.
You ever been on an airplane next to a crying baby?
I have.
You ever had a crying baby with you on an airplane?
I've been that crying baby.
Yeah. I mean, really, we think about it and we say, you know, we're so judgmental. We say, can't that person just make that baby stop crying? And when you've had your own baby in your arms and you're so hopeless and helpless and the poor baby's ears are popping and they don't know why their head is hurting, and you're a mom or a dad and you're trying to quiet and comfort. And it's a completely different perspective, isn't it?
Oh,
like
yes.
When you're standing on the outside judging that situation, it's very easy to say, I would do it this way, or I would do it that way, or you're not doing this. And when you're in that situation and you realize that I really have done all those things and I'm helpless, boy, there's two different conditions. And that's why it's so easy to understand why judging somebody without walking in their shoes, that's a very dangerous task. And I've learned it the hard way so many times that, you know, we make an assumption or a judgment and we only have a part of the picture. Mm-hmm. And then when we get the fuller picture, we feel like fools because we saw things through our own perspective rather than the reality of what the whole picture revealed. And this is why we got to know Jesus.
Yes.
You know, we have to trust him, and we have to be able to look at situations not through our limited temporary viewpoint, but through the eternal eyes that he's given us to see, and to trust him in it.
Mercy is always a better choice rather than judgment. In fact, that even the scripture tells us that mercy rejoices and triumphs over judgment. Mm. So mercy is always the right decision. It's always the right choice.
Yes.
Because that's what God does. He operates in mercy toward us, not giving us exactly what we deserve.
Yes.
And then turns around in his grace and gives us exactly what we don't deserve.
Wow.
That's the nature of God.
It is.
And if we're being conformed into the image of God's Son, it makes perfect sense to me that we would become more merciful, more gracious, more understanding, more compassionate, and have more empathy as we progress in our journey.
Mm. And, you know, like, he equips those who he calls,
yeah,
right? He doesn't call the equipped. He equips those that are called for the call. And that means that sometimes it's in suffering and weakness and frailty, you know, we go and we carry the gospel and we're prepared. It's not that we have something to offer God. God could use a rock if he wanted to, but he decided to use weak, frail people. Mm. And then, you know, we had a question here from one of our listeners who said that a leader said to their friend that his wife is not conceiving because of something spiritually wrong in their life. Can you comment on that? I guess my snarky comment is that I would say to that person, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, because you must be Jesus if you know why the person is not conceiving, right? Mm-hmm. And also, where does it say that in Scripture? Mm-hmm. Be careful of extra-biblical communication. The character and nature of God is not that he torments people, and I would say maybe she's not conceiving because it's not in the time that God's designed for her to conceive. Mm-hmm. And maybe that changes. We've seen that miraculously in people's lives. And we believe God for it. And we can pray for that person. And we can trust God for that person. But to condemn them because their physical body is not conforming to what you as a person have as a spiritual insight, that's a dangerous game.
Yeah, I'm glad that leader never got a hold of Abraham and Sarah.
Yeah, that's right.
Or Zacharias and Elizabeth.
That's right.
It would have been way off base.
Yeah, and timing meant everything, right?
That's right.
The timing of God's interjection into that situation is perfect. And then we could even say at the end of the day, if they tried and they brought it before the Lord, and you know, I had it in my mind that my wife and I would have multiple children, and God gave us one, and it's perfect. It's what God designed for us.
That's right.
That's right. And if God designed none, as hard as that is, we could trust that God knows what the reason why. And, you know, I often think also, Pastor Love, of children who are taken home and they have youthful illnesses, and, you know, and we're so distraught by that in many ways. And it is heartbreaking. And anyone who's lost a child knows that that's just a devastating thing. But also I wonder sometimes what they're spared from in their future. Like, what did God deliver them from that may have happened in their lives? Could they have been faced with some devastation? Could they have been drawn away from the Lord and end up in eternal damnation? We don't know. Mm. We don't know. Mm. But we know that God is gracious and merciful and just, and he allows us to go through situations that reveal his life in a way that we would never experience had we not had the trust and the relationship in him.
Yeah. I just think in closing of Mary, you know, called by God, chosen by God to bring Christ into this world.
Wow.
That's amazing. What joy. What an honor. What a blessing.
Yes.
And yet at the same time, she heard a prophecy in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, from Simeon that said, this child, the day is coming when you will sense a sword piercing your own heart because of the suffering that you will witness in his life.
Wow.
So on the one hand, you have this great blessing that comes from God. The other hand, you have this great suffering. You know, it leaves you begging the question, well, what is God trying to do? He's trying to teach us to trust him.
Yes.
Through all of it.
Yes.
Through all of it, learn to trust God.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I mean, our birth is beautiful and miraculous, and it's a precious day. And we have a hard time understanding why God says the day that a person goes home to be with the Lord is greater than the day of his birth, because we say, how could it be so amazing? You know, this child is born, and then the day that they die is so sad. Actually, we don't even understand that, right? Mm-hmm. We don't understand that. We know that the death of the saint is more precious than the day of his birth, because they're going to be present with the Lord and no longer subject to all of the things that this earth has brought about. You know, we're coming up here and we're in the election season. We're, I think, 6 days away from presidential election, and we all have our thoughts and our prayers and our hopes, and we say, you know, get out and vote and be filled with conviction about the things that will, you know, carry about the doctrines that God is, you know, there's some things that are obvious to us. But at the end of the day, whatever happens, we can trust God. When we wake up Wednesday morning, 2 weeks later, most likely, but we can say, no matter what happened,
yeah,
God is still on the throne, yeah, and the results will be. And I'm counseling myself right now, because I could stay up 24/7 for the next week and be so interested in what's happening and who's saying what and what do they believe, and what's this? The whole thing is in the hands of God, and we have an amazing. Get out, express your vote. I could say that again, because I've heard about all these evangelical Christians that are not voting because they're you know, both people are imperfect. Well, when you find a perfect candidate, let me know about that.
Yeah.
In the meantime, let's do what would promote the opportunities for us to go out and share the gospel. And what does that mean? I don't know. God knows. But I do know that we're going to see him faithful to us in a way that could only happen if we're in the situation he allows us to be put into, and it'll be beautiful for situations.
Yeah. There's a pattern in the Bible, and it's suffering and glory to follow. I don't think that pattern ever changes.
Amen.
The suffering always precedes the glory.
Yeah.
So, popular book written recently called Your Best Life Now. I don't believe it.
Right.
Our best life is still to come.
Oh, man. That's good news.
Amen.
That's good news, because we actually find a way to enjoy our lives today.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. You know, have a great life now.
Honestly, like, you could go through a lot in your life. You could be up against challenges, and we know that that's the truth. Right?
Yes.
Do we have things in our lives that we're challenged with or disappointed about? Absolutely. But in the midst of it, can you steal our joy?
No.
Not if it's coming from the source that is indispensable. You know, you can't snuff it out. Mm. And as long as we allow God to be the source of that life, good luck.
A life of faith with Jesus always means the best is yet to come.
Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us, friends. We'll be back tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. We hope you'll tune in then. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and the many different platforms that you can find it on. Until tomorrow at this time, may God bless you.